several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wind me.
And it is time for another Grape Encounter, and this is a very special Grape Encounter. It's a Grape Encounter of the Greek kind. You may have heard me talking about the fact that we are currently touring the U.S. with a team of some of the best Greek winemakers from the region known as Nousa, and I have with me three of the superstars plus the head of the marketing agency for wines of Nousa, and very exciting because we've actually stopped off here at the studio, but are on our way to Los Angeles, where we'll be doing more events. And first, I want to introduce Amy Olson, who is the president of Empire Events, which is the marketing agency. Hey, welcome, Amy.
Hey, David. How are you doing?
I'm worn out. You've been absolutely wearing me out as we have done, I don't know how many events at this point, maybe about a dozen of them. And I'm not sure that everybody knows my special title that I've been given, so I thought I'd let you explain that.
Well, allow me to introduce all of your listeners to the new ambassador for Wines of Nousa.
How amazing is that?
Yeah, we need to get your sash ready for you.
Yeah, and my toga, too.
And your toga and your crown.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got three of the top winemakers from Nousa here. And in the room with me, let's start with Christos Tarallas. And Christos, welcome.
I'm happy to meet you, David, here, making this interview for Greek Wines of Xinomavro.
And tell everyone the name of the particular wines that you make.
The grape variety is Xinomavro, and my winery's name is Elinos Winery of Tarallas family.
And about how many cases of wine do you make every year?
We make about 70,000 bottles of Xinomavro wine.
70,000 bottles. Okay, and then next is George Diamantakis.
Hello, David.
And
nice to meet you.
Well, you already met me a week ago.
Anyway, I'm very glad I'll be here.
Nice to see you.
I'm very glad to have you here as well. And same question to you, George. How much wine are you making in Nousa? And how much of that actually is Xinomavro and how much is other varietal?
I cultivate two varieties. The one is Xinomavro, producing the Nousa, which is the appellation, the red wine. It's around 12,000 bottles. And the other one is a white grape. We called it Preknadi, indigenous autochthony variety of our region, Nousa region. The total production of the white one is around 8,000 bottles, nine maybe.
Okay, awesome. And then finally with us is Apostolos Thimiopoulos.
Yes, that's right.
It's taken me almost a week just to get that right.
Very popular name here.
It is? Oh, you mean here in the U.S.?
Yeah.
No.
Around the world, I hear.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And same question to you, Apostolos.
Thank you, David, for the invitation to come here and discuss with you about our region and our wines. I'm Thimiopoulos Apostolos, enologist and winemaker of Thimiopoulos Vineyards. We have 23 hectares in organic viticulture and produce 340,000 bottles.
340,000 bottles. How many cases is that? I think you guys actually case them six bottles to a case, right?
Yes.
And whose phone just did that? Was that mine?
Yours.
David.
You have to do it in dozens. How many dozens are?
We have to calculate it.
Okay, never mind.
We can't calculate it.
It's more wine than we can even count at this point, right?
2,500 bottles.
2,500 cases. Okay, that's it. All right, so Amy, I'm going to come back to you for a second now,
okay,
because you've been doing this for a while, promoting the Greek wines, especially the wines of Nausa. So what exactly is the purpose of this particular mission? I mean, I know the purpose, but for the sake of our listeners, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, what we're really looking to do, David, is provide outreach and education about the varietal of Sino Mavro and introduce the U.S. to it as a fine wine varietal from Greece. It's pretty popular on the East Coast in New York and Chicago, but in the West Coast, it's been on the market for a while, but it is, we're really making an effort to make it introduced quite widely.
So the trick is to get people to try the wine. Wine drinkers are creatures of habit and really get sometimes stuck in a particular varietal, but I think that's really changing. How about you guys? Are you finding that people are more open and excited to try this varietal than maybe in the past? Who wants to start?
Me, David, George. I think so. It's a good opportunity for us now. After so many years, we produce this wine, this kind of wines. And I believe that this market, the USA market, is an open market to find, to discover new tastes and new flavors for anything, not only for the wine, for everything, but especially for our wines. I think the doors are opened and the people here are very well educated about the wine generally. If we think that the California produce so many wines, the region of California produce, and the people here drink a lot of wine. So they know a lot of things about wine, but nevertheless, they are open for new flavors, special things. And this is the wines that we are here to offer them, this kind of wines. This is something new for them.
Well, don't get people too excited about the varietal, because in California, they'll try to copy you.
I don't believe so.
It's the highest form of flattery.
Do you know if anybody is growing Sino Mavro in the United States? Are you aware? Anybody?
I don't know. Personally, I don't know someone. I don't say that we show them something special. We show them something different.
Something different. Okay. Yes. All right. And Christos, let's talk a little bit about what it's like back home in Nausa. Do you get visitors from other countries that come and try the wines there? And are they surprised and enthusiastic about the wines?
Yes, of course. We are a country that many tourists visit. And also the last few years are also interesting for wine tourism. So a lot of people come to our wineries in order to taste our wines and see by themselves how we culture vineyards in Greece. We are near a lot of ancient Greek tomb that also helps tourism to come to our wineries. The range in our wineries between the first one and the last one is about 15 miles, so anyone who visit us can make a lot of wine tastings and see many different wineries and wines from winery to winery.
So all of the wineries are within about a 15 mile range, huh?
Yes.
And how many wineries are we talking about?
We're talking about 20 wineries.
20. And all of them, I imagine, grow Sino Mavro, right?
Yes, of course. They also cultivate other vines, but mostly Sino Mavro, because it is a PDO region. PDO stands for Protected Designation of Origin. That is the highest wine can get in Greece. And the Nausa has this award from 1971.
So in 1971, in fact, I'm going to jump over to Apostolos for a second and let you chime in. In 1971, that's when this region was formed, correct?
Actually, I never been good with history, but but I almost sure that you are okay. You are right about this.
Okay.
Yes, around the early 70s, we established Nausa as a PDO region. And the king varietal, we can produce Sino Mavro wines or Nausa. The indication of Nausa region concerns wines that contains a 100% Sino Mavro grape.
So as you tour the U.S., and how many of you have toured the U.S. and done tastings in the past?
Personally, now it's my fourth time.
It's your fourth time?
Yeah.
So are you surprised at the reaction that people have to the wines? And also, are you tired of the jokes about Retsina?
Yes, the jokes are so many about Retsina. The people here in the USA market just don't know us. They know about Greek as a country, the history, but they don't know a lot of things about the wines of Greece. Just joking about Retsina, which is a special and traditional product of wine, my country. We can drink very good Retsina from Greece. We are here to show them our wines.
Well, it's so exciting for me to be able to tour the country with you, because I have I've been to Greece a number of times, and every time I go there, it's very nice to just go buy a bottle of wine at a store, and the wines always surprise me because they're so good. But why is it that it's very hard to get these wines in the United States? The question is, as wine drinkers, are Americans creatures of habit, or are we thirsty for new wine experiences? Today, Grape Encounters is all about a mini Greek wine invasion as we welcome to our studios in America three exceptionally talented winemakers from the Nousa region of northern Greece, where they specialize in the production of the very historic varietal known as Sinomavro. It's a wine that may not be familiar to you, but if my guests Christos, George, and Apostolos have it their way, you may be drinking less Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, or Pinot Grigio in favor of this very interesting and sumptuous varietal. We're going to take a quick break while I pour each of my guests a glass of All-American Red Zinfandel. It's kind of a foreign exchange program on your unpretentious wine program, Grape Encounters Radio. I'm David Wilson.
Unpretentious, unconventional, and uncorked. This is Grape Encounters Radio. We're all guilty of sin. We open a costly bottle of wine and recork it with the intent of drinking the rest later. But later comes and goes, and that delicious wine also goes. South, that is. The Coravin is the most reliable way to enjoy your wine without any concern about the unconsumed wine going bad. And while the Coravin costs a little bit more than other preservation systems, it does something they don't. It works. The Coravin is a beautifully engineered handheld device that gives you access to your wine through a small needle that you gently push straight through the cork. Argon gas is injected into the bottle, while as little or as much of the wine you want flows right into your glass. The argon gas keeps your wine so safe, it's as though you never opened the bottle. Want to learn more? Click the Coravin link at grapeencounters.com. A wine is a terrible thing to waste. Get your Coravin at grapeencounters.com.
Just where is wine country? At Grape Encounters, we know it's coast to coast and continent to continent. Our microphones have traveled far and wide on vino train trips, across a vineyard via zipline, into the castles of American aristocracy, to the midway at a county fair, into the kitchens of chefs whose culinary artistry is inspired by wine, and front and center for extraordinary tastings and pairings. Where will we go next? We're on the lookout for events, businesses, and people that embody the spirit of Grape Encounters Radio. Share your suggestions. If you know of a great place or event that we should broadcast from, or have a business or guest idea, we want to hear about it. Grape Encounters can deliver national awareness, and we're as close as an email away. Drop us a line. Write to David at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. That's David at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
He's setting down the wine glass and picking up the microphone. Your Grape Encounter continues with David Wilson and a little help from his friends.
And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio, and I'm so pleased to have with me three incredibly talented winemakers from the northern Greek wine region of Nousa, as well as their U.S. marketing representative, Amy Olson. I have the distinct privilege of touring the East and West Coast with Apostolos, George, and Christos as they introduce wine lovers in America to a varietal that existed long, long, long before our country. And even though the Sinomavro varietal predates pretty much any of the popular varietals we've come to enjoy in the U.S., it's not well known in the New World. The question I have for you fellas is this. Do you think that Americans are more open to trying not just wines from Greece, but wines from other places?
answer. We have a long history to produce wines to our country. Only the last years we export and we try to promote our wines to other countries because the quality now is good to combine with other more popular countries and varieties. Greece has 300 indigenous varieties. Most important of them are Assyrtiko from Santorini. Maybe everybody knows Santorini is one of the most popular destinations in Greece. And also the most important Greek red variety is Xinomavro from Nausa.
George, let me turn to you for a second. Tell me some of the reactions that people have had to the wine and what is it that they're surprised about?
I think they like it. I think they like it a lot. They are very surprised at the start from the taste, the aromas, the fruit aroma that comes from the glass, which is very unique on those variety. Depend on the weather conditions, of course, and the winemaker. And the tannin structure. They remind it to something familiar. At the end, I think they say that it's unique. The uniqueness of Xinomavro is something different for them. And this is the point that people here, because you asked before, are not trying to learn or try different things from another country. As they search for some treasures, maybe, if I can say the word, for the ones that have something to tell to the people here. I don't believe that we have here to show some one international variety, cultivating or producing in our region with specific characteristics of our terroir. It could not be the same.
So when we talk about European wines, for instance, some of the varietals that come from France, we can go back hundreds of years to the origins of those wines, but how far back can we go to the origins of some of the Greek wines?
I know about the ancient wineries.
The ancient wineries?
The ancient wineries, ancient Greek produced wines, especially in my region, I know that. From the ancient years, from the season of Alexander the Great, where so many wineries in my region and produced wines, and they carried in some...
Amphoras.
Amphoras, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you know amphoras, yeah. There is just on that, it's history. And the Mediterranean countries generally produce wines from all of the years.
We're talking to Christos Taralis, George Diamantakis, and Apostolos Themiopoulos. And you guys are all pretty young, all under 40 years old, right?
Yes.
And nobody's under 30 years old.
No.
How many of you got into winemaking because somebody in your family was in winemaking before you?
Yes, I'm the fourth generation of my family.
And this is Christos. Four generations.
Yes.
So how long ago was the first generation?
My grandfather started cultivating vines in the early 19th century. And he was living in East Macedonia in Greece. And then after the Balkanic Wars, they established in the region of Nausa and started their viniculture. And then it was good for us to have vines planted with wild objects because in 1930 there was a phylloxera in Greece that almost dried every vineyard in Greece. We were like...
So just to be really clear, you had a phylloxera epidemic.
Yes.
And can you explain to listeners what that actually means?
Phylloxera means that vineyards are getting dried.
But it's caused by an insect.
Yes. And you have to replant every vineyard that has this insect.
Yeah, which means literally tearing out all the vineyards, right? Replacing the rootstock, starting from the very beginning.
Yes, of course. And it is very difficult for a region, this. But we were lucky to have our plants good, so we continued this tradition in my family. And after that, there was a pause during the Second World War, and then we continued cultivating grapes and producing wine. So here I am to continue this tradition.
So what's the best part about touring the U.S. for you? I already know what it is. You almost gave up winemaking to become a ship's captain.
Yeah. We're Apostolos had the captain hat, and I was the first one to help.
So this was in San Francisco Bay.
Yes.
And we did a tasting out in the bay, an evening cruise on a small, I can only call it a wine tasting boat, and you got hooked. Apostolos as well?
Yes, that's right.
So would you give up winemaking to become a sea captain then?
Yes, also my second job is to
drive to cars,
skipper,
boats.
Skipper.
Amy, you had to pry them off of the boat.
I know. It's lucky there weren't girls in bikinis on that boat.
Well, if there were.
And you know, I just want to say, we went on San Francisco Bay boat cruises, and they do wine tastings. That's part of what they do, is doing wine tastings out on the bay. And we were so fortunate and grateful to introduce Greek wines as part of one of their excursions.
Yeah, very awesome. So, George, what's been the most fun thing on this tour for you?
On this specific tour?
Yes.
this interview, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, besides being with me.
Besides being with you, David, I think that we had so many events with different styles. I'd love all of them. And if I had to choose one of these, my favorite, I believe that the simple people, the people that taste just for the fun and love our wines, this is my best part of this journey.
See, and you know what? That's what this
journey.
That's what this radio show is all about. Wine for people who just want to have fun with wine. So you're saying then that you prefer to pour wine for somebody who's just going to enjoy it as opposed to maybe a wine professional that's going to write about it or is going to overanalyze it?
Of course. Usually it's more fun to connect with so many people and simple people, wine lovers, that want to learn from you, to conversate, because, you know, wine is so many things concerned about a human being, not only professional, business, or anything. It's much more, so many things.
Apostolos, how about the same question for you? What's your favorite part?
Yes, the most important was tasting in San Francisco Wine School with a master sommelier there. And also we enjoy all the activities. The boat was very interesting, very different. And the people really enjoy the walk by the boat and us also. And my driving also.
I'm glad they had seasick bags while you were driving because I almost needed mine. Doing what we call donuts here in the boat.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So we started off our tour with...
Also very important for us was your offer to us to try some wines from here to understand what's the style of the wine that the people, the consumers prefer to drink. And it was a very good lesson for us.
Oh, you mean yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah, that was fun. I didn't mention
because you opened a lot of bottles. Thank you, David.
I did. I almost went broke yesterday opening bottles of wine. But it kind of did bother me that you guys spit out a lot of the wine. Because you were making room.
We create so many aspects for the wines here, and we meet the style, the weather condition that the vines are grown. So many things, very nice for us too.
We're talking to Christos Tarallis, George Diamantakis, and Apostolos Themiopoulos, three exceptionally talented winemakers from the Nousa region of northern Greece, where they specialize in the production of the varietal Sinomavro. We will be back with more Grape Encounters right after this.
Unpretentious, unconventional, and uncorked. This is Grape Encounters Radio.
If you make April your month to do some California wine tasting, your friends will surely be green with envy. That's because throughout the month of April, California wines aren't just red, white, and rosé. In April, you'll discover just how green California wines are, too. April is California Wine's down-to-earth month, and wineries all over the state are celebrating the state's leadership in sustainable wine growing with fun and educational events everywhere you turn. California has one of the most widely adopted sustainable wine growing programs in the world, with more than 70% of California's wine growers and winemakers committed to practices that benefit the environment, employees, and neighbors. And best of all, the quality of the wine is simply superb. From Earth Day wine and food festivals and green wine trails to vineyard hikes and horseback rides and special tastings, find out more at discovercaliforniawines.com. Just click on the tab that says April is Earth Month at discovercaliforniawines.com.
We're all guilty of sin. We open a costly bottle of wine and recork it with the intent of drinking the rest later. But later comes and goes, and that delicious wine also goes. South, that is. The Korovin is the most reliable way to enjoy your wine without any concern about the unconsumed wine going bad. And while the Korovin costs a little bit more than other preservation systems, it does something they don't. It works. The Korovin is a beautifully engineered handheld device that gives you access to your wine through a small needle that you gently push straight through the cork. Argon gas is injected into the bottle, while as little or as much of the wine you want flows right into your glass. The argon gas keeps your wine so safe, it's as though you never opened the bottle. Want to learn more? Click the Korovin link at grapeencounters.com. A wine is a terrible thing to waste. Get your Korovin at grapeencounters.com.
Before we get back to our conversation with George Christos and Apostolos from Nousa, Greece, I want to take a minute to discuss something that I take very, very seriously. Last week, we devoted our entire show to a discussion of what I personally believe to be an outrageous assault on the wine industry. Individuals who stand to profit in a very big way by rattling their legal sabers and placing deeply misleading stories in the media have a lot of wine drinkers worried about absolutely nothing. A few weeks ago, a class action lawsuit alleging that there are dangerous levels of arsenic in some of the most popular wines that we drink made headlines around the globe. I have had countless people ask me if there's any truth to these allegations, and I want you to know what I know. Arsenic is a naturally occurring compound found in much of the food and wine that we drink. The issue is not whether or not it is present, but whether or not the levels are dangerous. The answer to that question is a resounding no. No winemaker named in the suit has produced a product for sale containing levels of arsenic that are even remotely dangerous or illegal. Unfortunately, just the mere mention of the word arsenic seems frightening. There's a lot of great information in last week's show, and if you missed it, I want to urge you to go to grapeencounters.com and give a listen. There's a lot of insight offered on that show, as well as instructions on where to find even more facts. I'm furious that these individuals would have the audacity to give the American wine industry a black eye when what it really deserves is a pat on the back. We'll continue to keep you posted on developments as we know them. In the meantime, enjoy American wines and wines from around the globe with confidence.
Wine can of their wits the wise beguile, make the sage frolic and the serious smile. Guiding us through our own odyssey of wine is David Wilson. Grape Encounters Radio continues.
We have just a few more minutes to talk with our special guests all the way from Nousa, Greece, George Diamantakis, Christos Tiralis, and Apostolos Themiopoulos, as well as the head of U.S. marketing for the wines of Nousa, Greece, Amy Olson. You know, the guys have not just been pouring their wines for eager wine adventurers here in America, they've also been doing their fair share of wine tasting along the way. Is it exciting for you guys to get to try some of the wines from here? Because obviously you have to taste a lot of Sonoma-Vro from Nousa. How about you, Christos?
Yes, we are here also to try the competition. It is very important for us to see what wines people drink here. We have tasted a lot of Sonoma-Vro, and we are going to do and in the other years. So here, the best thing is to see what are the differences in order to bring to people, to consumers, here something different from our country.
Have any of you been inspired by the wines that you've tasted here and thought, gee, there's something that I might try or experiment with a Sonoma-Vro to create a different variation of that wine?
I believe no. We're trying to prefer something different and not something similar to California wines.
Oh, that's a good answer. Good answer.
Thank you.
No point in imitation, right?
Yeah, of course.
I want to read something that somebody wrote to all of us last night after going to the tasting at the Grape Encounters Emporium. And this was a man named Stephen. You might remember him because his wife had bright red hair. Do you remember?
Yes.
Very, very nice people. But they came a very long distance, by the way. You probably didn't know this, but they drove a long ways to get here when they heard that you were going to be here.
We appreciate that.
And here's what he says. He says, thank you so much for having us in today for the Greek tasting. I still can't pronounce that grape. Sonoma-Vro. Anyway, he says the wines were interestingly Euro-wonderful and consistent across vintages. It really was refreshing to taste in basically a straight line instead of a vast mishmash of varietals, as has been the norm at such exotic tastings at most shops. It was nice meeting with you and your wife. He's talking about me, said wonderful shop. But anyway, I thought that that was a really nice comment that he made, that it was nice to just try one variety varietal and a lot of different wines. And he's apparently quite a wine expert and was very, very excited to see the consistency of quality of all of the Sonoma Vero wines. So do you have any message back for him?
That's great to hear.
We thank him a lot for his nice comment. It's a very thoughtful comment, actually. He doesn't say only that he liked the wines. He explains why he liked the wines. And this is the substance for us, the point we are talking about you in the previous question.
Yeah, he made up a word that I think is a good word that we should use
to explain the reason he liked the wine.
And he calls them Euro wonderful. Yeah. E-U-R-O okay. Wonderful.
He named that.
Yeah, that's the new term for Sonoma Vero. What do you guys think?
Well, yes, as you said to us in the yesterday's taste, now is the time to drink some good wine.
Yes, Nausa is the place. So now's the time to drink some Greek wine. Okay, so last thoughts from each of you, and including you, Amy. Amy, I'll let you wrap up, but who wants to start? Any message?
The ladies first.
Ladies first. Okay, so, all right. Amy, I'll let you jump in.
Well, I just want to say that first, thank you, David, for the opportunity to introduce people via radio to Sonoma Vero and Wines of Nausa and some of the Nausa winemakers. We're going to be in Chicago and New York in May, so if any of your listeners are in that area, we'd love to have you come out. Like us on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook at Wines of Nausa or...
And just spell Nausa so people will know.
Sure. It's Nausa. And that Facebook link will give you links to all of the events coming up. And also just wanted to say, you know, the wines from Greece have an amazing story, an amazing history, and it's kind of a museum in a bottle. So when people take a sip of Sonoma Vero, they're tasting wines from ancient histories, tasting the story, tasting the people, tasting the land, and give it a try if you haven't tried it yet.
Okay, who's next?
I'm Chris. I believe it's the best thing for consumers here, apart from buying a bottle of Greek wine, is to pair this wine with Greek food. I believe Sonoma Vero needs this. It's not a wine to drink alone. It needs good food and, of course, a good company.
And now you tell me that because I had a whole bottle by myself last night. No. All right. Who's next?
Me, Apostolos. It's a good opportunity for the wine lovers and wine searchers here to discover a new variety, a new terroir. This is Sonoma Vero from Nausa.
Awesome. And George, as we say in America,
but not least.
Yeah, okay.
Additionally, for me, at the last, that we're not here only to promote our wines. We are here to share our knowledge of winemaking with the other people, the consumers, the wine buyers, and everyone who drink wine, and to join our tradition and knowledge with the people here. This is the most important thing for us, not just only promote.
I just want to say it has been such a thrill this first week to be with you guys. It's been so much fun. You've been so much fun, and you work so hard. I can't even believe how much time you've spent with so many people, but it's really been an honor to also help represent these wines. We're supposed to take a break today, but instead we're on the radio, and now we're off to Los Angeles. That sounds like fun.
It is going to be fun.
Yeah.
We're going to have a great time.
For sure.
So for the next 4 or 5 days, we'll be in Southern California, and though I normally drink wines from different places every single day, for the next 4 or 5 days, it will be all Greek to me.
There you go.
All right, you guys, I guess it's time to get aboard the Nausa Express, the Nausa bus, and we will head south. And what shall we drink along the way?
Sonoma Vero, of course.
Sonoma Vero, of course.
Okay. Anybody want some Zinfandel?
Why not? Yeah. We can make the blend.
All right. So my highest appreciation to Christos Tourales, to George Diamantakis, to Apostolos Thimiopoulos, and to Amy Olson from Empire Events. It's a lot of fun, and the fun continues. We're just starting our journey, right? So we've got a couple more weeks of things to do between this leg and our leg on the East Coast. So very much looking forward to it. And again, Amy, where people can find more information about the wines and our tour?
Just go to Facebook at Wines of Nausa, and that's Wines of Naussa.
So we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio. But can anybody here tell me how you say we'll be back with more Grape Encounters after this in Greek?
Θα επιστρέψουμε σε λίγο.
That's it?
Yes.
I didn't hear Grape Encounters in there.
Θα επιστρέψουμε
σε λίγο.
With Greek wine.
Forget about it. Okay. All right. Well, who is that? Does somebody else want to try? Okay, go for it, George.
Hey, George, do it.
Grape counters.
Yeah.
Θα επιστρέψουμε σε λίγο με τους συνοποιούς της Νάουσας.
Θα επιστρέψουμε σε λίγο.
Θα επιστρέψουμε σε λίγο with grape encounters.
All right, coming up next, it's Sarah Schneider, wine editor of Sunset Magazine, one of the two largest lifestyle magazines in America. And we're going to dive into another edition of Sippin' with Sarah. Oh, and by the way, Larry Gifford, our chief wine news correspondent, will be back from vacation next week. So we'll have a lot of catching up to do on wine news from around the globe when Larry returns all tanned and rested. I also want to give you a heads up about another feature you won't want to miss on next week's show. You've just heard from three of the top winemakers from the Nousa region of northern Greece. Well, next week, we'll have the president of another extraordinary northern Greek wine region joining us on the show, and this interview is guaranteed to keep you totally and completely engaged as we talk about the wines and resorts of Domaine Portokarrás. Ileana Stango, president of Domaine Portokarrás, will be visiting our studio in person, and I can't wait to hear more about this lavish resort and winery that's played host to countless heads of state and historic political summits. Now, later on this year, we're going to be doing a show from both Nousa and Portokarrás, so this is a great opportunity to give you a sneak peek at things to come. There are plenty of reasons to join us next week, so mark your radio listening calendar, and we'll continue with this week's Grape Encounters and Sipping with Sarah right after these important messages.
You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson, broadcasting from our wine cellar studio in idyllic Atascadero, centrally located in the Central Coast wine country of San Luis Obispo County, California.
Just where is wine country? At Grape Encounters, we know it's coast to coast and continent to continent. Our microphones have traveled far and wide for more than 3 years on vino train trips, across a vineyard via zipline, into the castles of American aristocracy, to the midway at a county fair, into the kitchens of chefs whose culinary artistry is inspired by wine, and front and center for extraordinary tastings and pairings. Where will we go next? We're on the lookout for events, businesses, and people that embody the spirit of Grape Encounters Radio. Share your suggestions. If you know of a great place or event that we should broadcast from, or have a business or guest idea, we want to hear about it. Grape Encounters can deliver national awareness, and we're as close as an email away. Drop us a line. Write to David at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. That's David at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
If you make April your month to do some California wine tasting, your friends will surely be green with envy. That's because throughout the month of April, California wines aren't just red, white, and rosé. In April, you'll discover just how green California wines are, too. April is California Wines Down to Earth Month, and wineries all over the state are celebrating the state's leadership in sustainable wine growing with fun and educational events everywhere you turn. California has one of the most widely adopted sustainable wine growing programs in the world, with more than 70% of California's wine growers and winemakers committed to practices that benefit the environment, employees, and neighbors. And best of all, the quality of the wine is simply superb. From Earth Day wine and food festivals and green wine trails to vineyard hikes and horseback rides and special tastings, find out more at discovercaliforniawines.com. Just click on the tab that says April is Earth Month at discovercaliforniawines.com.
She's earthy, honest, and sipping each week as a service to you. From Sunset Magazine, it's Sarah Schneider. This is Sipping with Sarah on Grape Encounters Radio.
Where's the cork for the wine bottle? It must have been mislaid. And the red wine just can't be found. It can't be far away.
And we're back with Grape Encounters Radio, and it is time for Sipping with Sarah. And Sarah, the question of the day is, does age matter?
That's personal.
Yeah. Well, you're timeless, just like me. But that's because wine keeps you young.
Oh, I think so. The preservative.
I'm going backwards, as a matter of fact. In fact, my wife says, stop being a baby. So...
We both have that Dorian Gray portrait in the attic. It's getting older. We're getting younger.
But, you know, normally when we talk about age and wine, especially in the U.S., we're talking about how old a wine is. But today we're going to talk about age in terms of whether or not a year is as significant here in America as it might be other places. And specifically, you brought in two wines from a very well-known producer that makes a lot of wine. It's available. What are you clinking glasses there
for? You know,
for?
It's the stock of trade.
Yes. You know, nobody goes for the wine faster than you. You just like got to get it in the glass. Right. Anyway, the producer is Rombauer. And Rombauer is a really nice label. They make a lot of wine. It's available all over the country, I'm sure.
It's actually one of the most purchased labels in reds in restaurants on premise.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. I hadn't known that. But they're a very credible name. They make really good wines. They're not necessarily cheap, but they're a very good value wine, I think.
Right. They're actually, I think, across the country, most known for their Chardonnay. Rombauer Chardonnay, people swear by. It's on most good wine lists across the country, and it's a classic California, big, buttery, sweet-seeming sort of Chardonnay.
Yeah, I've never met a Rombauer I didn't like, honestly. But what you've done here is prepared a little side-by-side test.
A little comparative tasting here.
Okay, but here's what I'm going to do. The test is whether or not a year really makes a difference, because doing this test with the Rombauer wines, you can be pretty confident that they are very consistent in their winemaking practices,
right,
and that the differences that you're going to taste are probably the differences in vintage. Now, vintage can make a huge difference in other parts of the world. And a lot of times you'll hear people say that it is not as consequential in, say, California as other places.
Absolutely. Because our weather is much more consistent than, say, Bordeaux in France, where they get rain and cold spells. And
so you've poured two glasses of Merlot, both from the Carneros region. And what is the difference in years?
One year. I poured you the 2011 and the 2012. And those 2 years couldn't be more different in their weather patterns. 2011 was sort of the year from hell. And by the way, Carneros is a very cool part of the Napa Valley. Actually, Carneros spans both the southern part of Napa Valley and Sonoma. So it crosses county lines. But the Napa Valley part of Carneros is one of the coolest parts of Napa Valley because it gets that cold air coming off of San Pablo Bay. So in a cool year, it got the worst of that. So you would think it would be lean and herbal.
The year that ought to be inferior is 2011.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to be really clear because I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the curveball. You've not sipped yours, right?
No.
I've not sipped mine, right?
Right.
Okay. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to turn away and you're going to mix my glasses up any which way, but be very careful.
Okay.
And remember which is which, okay?
Okay. I will do that.
And just... I'm going to mix your glasses up. And
oh, no.
No. So here's what we're going to do. Just remember which one is on the left for me, okay? Then I'm going to remember which is on your left, okay? Now, can I turn around?
Not quite.
Well, it's only two glasses, Sarah.
Okay.
Okay, ready? All right. So you know which one's on my left.
I do.
Now, currently, which one is on your left right now?
The 2012.
The 2012, all right.
And I should say that the 2012 was the opposite of hell. It was the one made in heaven. It was the right weather at exactly the right time. Harvest was just perfect, no flaws. It should be the shining star here.
Okay, so 2012 is currently on your left. All right, so turn your head now.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to stir things up a bit here. And let's see. In fact, I'm going to pour some of this into that glass.
Don't you dare.
All right, now you can turn around. I have shuffled.
You didn't really pour one into the other, did you?
I did. Would that have been the funniest thing?
That would have thrown me completely.
All right, so are we ready to go?
Okay.
You don't know what you're drinking, and I don't know what I'm drinking.
This is what they call double blind.
Yeah, pretty good, huh? Okay, here we go. All right, so I'm taking the one on my left first.
Okay, and I'm going for the one on my right first.
It doesn't really matter.
I'm going to smell them both first before I sip.
You know what? The smelling doesn't really play well on the radio. If you're going to smell on the radio, you got to go.
They are of a family, aren't they?
Okay, so I'm not detecting a lot of difference between one and the other.
You know what? I agree. This may be an anticlimax, which...
No, this might actually support the idea that vintage may not be as significant.
Or that winemakers can create consistency by manipulation.
Oh, really? So this could be anticlimactic.
It could.
You're right. Okay, so I am now going to taste the wine on my right. Oh. Mm.
What was that O about?
I don't want to tell you.
Okay. I just tasted the one on my right. I'm getting sweet fruit, that cherry chocolate thing. That's all Merlot coming out.
Okay.
I'm going to go for the left.
I'm going to guarantee you that your right is my left.
Okay.
Because when you taste... I'm just thinking, because taste this wine, and I can't wait to see your reaction.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Is it corked, or is it oxidizing?
Maybe a little oxidizing going on, but I think there's an herbal quality here. I'm guessing this is my 2011.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're guessing that on your left is your 2011.
That's what I'm guessing.
Which of mine is the 2011?
The one on your right.
So your 2011 is that one on your,
seriously,
on your right.
I got it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the one you're saying is oxidized? We're getting all mixed up in this.
Yeah, I'm definitely tasting a little oxidation on this one.
Now, on the nose, when we first smelled it, they were so much alike.
That's what I
thought. So much alike. But I'm backing off here on now that I know. Hindsight's great. But this 2011 has a thinness on it that I think comes across as oxidation. It doesn't have that generosity of fruit.
Really? Okay.
Let's go with the 2012 and see if we have a...
See, the 2012, I think, is really outstanding.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful wine.
It is a beautiful wine.
It's lush and beautiful.
Yeah.
The other wine tastes fragile to me. This wine could not lay down, I don't think.
You may be right. It's not as good a wine.
No.
No.
So the better wine came from the better year.
Yes. That's our conclusion here, I think. So year matters.
And but would you honestly conclude that the 2012 was appreciably better than the 2011?
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
See, yeah, absolutely. We're dead on the money. All right, that's going to do it for Grape Encounters. My thanks to Sarah Schneider for being the most important person in my radio life. And thanks to you for listening to the show across America. We appreciate you so much.